front door. 'Cause you done me dirty. I sure don't want you no more.
Call to order the Parks and Rec Commission meeting for Wednesday, November 2nd, 2016. All right, let's get right to the meeting. I know there's some people interested in the World Series, so we will be efficient, not quick. All right. So I guess we go with the pledge.
I'm sorry. Seemed like we called roll before.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. May we please have roll call?
Commissioner Tolis?
Here.
Commissioner Lynn is absent. Commissioner Richards?
Here.
Commissioner Jones?
Here.
Commissioner Barsky? Absent. Vice Chair West?
Here.
Chair Hart?
Here.
Thank you very much. All right, did we have any speaker slips?
We have no speaker slips at this time.
Thank you very much. All right, let's jump right to the presentation A. Oops, I'm sorry. Oh. I thought you were raising your hand. I saw something on the screen of my eye. Shall I introduce, or you want to introduce?
You may introduce, okay. And it would be great for you to do that.
All righty. I'd like to introduce Joanne Plummer, Parks and Rec Manager, newly hired. Welcome.
So if we could have Ms. Plummer go to the podium. Mr. Chair and members of the commission, staff is really pleased tonight to present to you Ms. Joanne Plummer, who was recently hired as the city's new Parks and Recreation Manager. We're really excited to have Ms. Plummer join the city's team. She brings an incredible background in Parks and Recreation, and we'll let her talk about that a little bit more, because I could sit here and talk about all the excitement we have about having her. So I'll turn it over to Ms. Plummer.
Thank you, Vito. Good evening, Chair and members of the Commission. I'd like to thank you for this opportunity as the Parks and Recreation Manager for the City of Goleta. I am really excited for everything, all the work that you've put into creating this position and creating your plan on moving forward, and I'm honored to accept the position to take your vision and move it forward for the citizens of Goleta. So thank you very much, and I look very forward to working with you.
Oh, wait a minute. I thought you were going to talk a little bit more about your background. That's what he just said in his intro. Could you tell us a little bit more about the recent experiences you've had in relation to Parks and Rec?
Sure. I apologize. I'm coming from the city of Lompoc, where I am a current recreation manager, and I have been there for 19 years. And prior to that, I was with the city of Santa Maria. So as you can tell, I don't hop around very often. I embed both feet very deep in the communities in which I serve, and I strive to meet the goals of their citizens. Currently, I oversee half the recreation division, and in that, it is our business operations, our youth and team programs, community special events, special needs population, and our aquatics program. And throughout my history, we've worked on multiple projects. We have renovated facilities. We have built facilities. We have taken old shopping center department stores and turn them into community/senior centers. So lots of invigorating ideas that we have been able to bring to fruition in Lompoc, along with some fun activities like our creative crosswalks projects and very neat collaborations that we do, and very proud of all the work that I've done in Lompoc and anxious to get started in Goleta.
Well, we're anxious to have you on board and have you actually inject some of that enthusiasm and some of that experience that you already have. That's really going to be nice to have somebody with such a thorough background, and I hope there's some maybe pet projects that you might want to expose us to that you've already tried in Lompoc or other places.
Oh, sure. We'll talk.
Well, again, welcome. Any other commissioners have any comment?
Welcome. We're glad to have you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Plummer. It's really, again, just wanted to reiterate and share with you and the commission staff's excitement about having Ms. Plummer join the city's team. And already I can tell the commission that The work coming before you for 2017 is going to be a big year. So we're really glad to have this opportunity. As the commission has known for quite some time, we've had all these things in the recreation needs assessment that we're looking to dive into. And now we will have a great opportunity to do so now with Ms. Plummer on board. So again, I'm excited to have you on board, and I know the rest of the team here is too.
Yes, and somebody focused purely on Parks and Rec. I mean, our staff is pulled every way, which way, and so it'll be really nice to have somebody focused in on it. Again, welcome. All right, moving right on. Is it the first inning yet? we have consent calendar and approval of the Parks and Rec Commission meeting of July 27th. Boy, that's a long time ago. Can I get a motion for approval?
I move to approve.
I second.
Were you on? You want to try it again?
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay, we have approval of the Parks and Rec minutes. All right, jumping on to item C. We have the Rancho La Patera Park Improvements. M6 Consulting is presenting, I believe.
Mr. Chair and members of the commission, we have with us tonight Mr. Bob Woodward with M6 Consulting. They are an engineering firm that is working to support the Public Works Department, of which the commission is aware that we do a lot of work with in this area of parks and recreation. Tonight we have a PowerPoint presentation for you and an opportunity for you to provide some feedback on the improvements to the Rancho La Patera Park. And so with that, I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Woodward for the presentation.
Thank you, Vito, and good evening, Chair Hart and members of the commission. Appreciate the opportunity to be here tonight and present some of what we're seeing in terms of potential improvements for the La Patera Park complex. Give you a quick overview of the park itself. You're probably all familiar with it, but the park is obviously home to a number of historic structures, as well as the front portion, which is Fire Station 14. And really quite a collection of different recreational opportunities that are fairly heavily used in terms of special events and just kind of destinations for recreational activities. We've got just past Fire Station 14 an existing paved parking lot. The paved parking lot in most days is sufficient to handle the regular traffic. However, during special events, as you can see in this photograph, you've got quite a bit of overflow going on to the north, as well as in the parking near the blacksmith shop, just to the northeast of the Stowhouse. So the park is home to some special events that do have quite a big parking generation, parking demand, and really puts a tax on the current facility. So this is a good shot of the park on one of its busier days, when you've just got a lot of visitors there, and the parking demands are really at their peak. And of course, as you get further down the driveway, you've got the Stowhouse, as well as a collection of other historic structures, including the caretaker's residence. There's a bunkhouse, and old packing sheds, and the blacksmith shop. So, kind of a real schematic type of overview of what we're looking to do. The red line is a fire line. The current park is not protected by any type of a built-in fire protection system, such as a fire line, fire hydrants, that type of thing. The intention here is to put in a fire line that'll loop the water systems from Los Carneros over to Covington Way. And the intention is the fire line would also house fire hydrants at regular intervals to allow, in the event of a fire, fire engines to hook up to the hydrants, and as well as stubs where you may be able to tie in. So the red there is your fire line. The little lines coming off the red line are the stubs for future fire sprinklers, should we decide to sprinkler protect some of those historic buildings. That's kind of a separate exercise in terms of determining whether that's feasible, reasonable, or in keeping with the historic character of some of these buildings. There's a blue box there called Proposed Restroom. We're looking to formalize the existing portable restroom to a more appropriate facility, one that can handle some of the levels of visitors that we have, as well as something that's going to be providing a bit more capacity and a bit more presentable. The existing parking lot is called out. We've got a yellow box there for a potential expanded parking lot that would provide additional parking capacity, as well as a green line there that would provide basically a sewer lateral to connect the restrooms to the existing sewer main, which is on Los Carneros Road. So to kind of a high-level overview of what we're looking to do, we're looking to provide fire protection to the site with the fire line and fire hydrants, upgrade the restrooms, take out the portable restroom that's currently in the middle of the parking lot, and formalize it with a permanent facility, put in a parking lot, and also renovate the existing lot, which is in fairly poor condition, and also look to install a garage for the caretaker's house to give them a place to actually park their vehicles. And that garage would take its access off of the proposed parking lot, which would be adjacent to the existing. We'll get into a little more detail on that. For fire protection, the intention is to put in a fire line. The fire line would provide protection for both the site and the buildings by providing fire hydrants and then allowing the opportunities for future fire sprinklers. We've met with the fire department, Captain Glenn Fiddler, down at their headquarters. Obviously, the fire department is very supportive of the proposal. Anything that improves fire protection for buildings is always something that they just jump right on board with. So fire department is supportive of this, and they provided us with their design requirements so our engineers know what they need to do in terms of design. The existing restroom, you guys may be familiar with this facility right in the middle of the parking lot. You know, it's probably been there for some years. It modestly does a job of a restroom facility, but it's undersized and it's somewhat awkwardly located. So we'd be looking to upgrade the existing restroom. Some of the opportunities and considerations are size on the restroom. You can do what's called a single occupant, which is a unisex restroom, or you can do separate men's and women's restrooms, multi-occupancy opportunities, so you can have more than one person in the restroom at a time. Style-wise, we'd be looking for a style that's compatible with the existing on-site buildings. And in terms of design construction, we'd look to propose a precast restroom facility, which is easy to specify. There's a lot of different finishes and styles that you can get these in, and they've come a long way from the old precast concrete pillboxes. They're actually, they look very nice these days. But that helps to minimize the sense of there being actually an on-site construction project. Whenever you're constructing a building, it takes on a life of its own. Precast really tends to be a turnkey type of installation, and it's easy to specify and very easy to install. This is an example of one of them. This is what's called a unisex restroom. It's a single occupant unit. This kind of gives you a sense of the kinds of style that is available. You can do colored concrete. You can put different textures on the outside. There's different architectural styles. So they can be quite attractive in appearance. Here's another option. This was actually done in a national park. You've got kind of a stamped, looks like a stone facade, and what looks like wood is actually textured concrete that's painted and textured to look like wood. So it's extremely durable because it's made of precast concrete. The hardware and everything on it, because these things tend to be used in public locations, are very durable, vandal resistant, and really the kind of thing that you'd want if you had to have something unattended in the middle of a park. Here's another example. This is actually a separate facility where you've got kind of a men's and women's restroom and then a central storage or a utility space in the middle. But again, kind of gives you a sense of there's different styles that these things can come in, so they can really address just about any concern or style preference the city has. So the process of specifying one of these restrooms is you pick the size and the floor plan that you want, whether you want single occupant or you want one that will handle separate men's and women's and multi-occupants. Specify the finish. It's built in the factory. Ships in one day and installs. And the precast nature of this really reduces that whole sense of non-site construction project and related disruption of the facility for park users. Sample floor plan. This is a separate men's and women's restroom. You've got a single occupant, so you go in, close the door. There's a toilet and a sink, and you'd have one for men's, one for women's, and there's a central space for utility, storage, electrical. So if your janitorial staff wants to keep their cleaning materials there, they can. It's all in one facility, so it's, you know, it's easy to maintain. This is an example of a multi-accommodation, so in other words, again, more than one user can go in at a time. It's a little bit bigger than the other, but it provides for, if you've got a fairly good-sized number of people who need to use facilities at a given time, you can expand your footprint a little bit and be able to do that. These are examples of the types of floor plans they give you to choose from. From here, you can kind of customize a little bit depending on what your specific needs are. In terms of the existing buildings on site, they are a bit of a collection of different architectural styles, a little eclectic. So there's some sense of judgment you may have to use in terms of picking what style you're actually going to go with in terms of a finish. But the way that these precast restrooms work is you can kind of give them a sense of what you'd like in terms of what style you're trying to represent, and they can basically duplicate it. The proposed location is right adjacent to the existing disabled parking, which if you're coming into the park, it's to the left of the Railroad Museum, just before you go into the driveway for the Stowe House. There's a level area that's just next to the eucalyptus grove. What we'd look to do is place the precast unit there. We'd plumb it with water and sewer, and we'd improve the paving as part of the parking lot improvements, and probably put a drinking fountain out there as well. But this is the approximate location of the restrooms. This is an example of a thing on the truck as it's being delivered. When they say precast, they really mean it. It comes as a single unit, and basically gets just dropped into place. You've already got your plumbing, already got your electrical installed, and it's kind of a plug-and-play type of thing. So one day there's just a dirt pad there. The next day you've got a building that's functional. So it's really nice in terms of minimizing disruption to park users and is almost immediately usable. Another layer to this in terms of the parking lot improvements, this is a shot of the existing parking lot. It's in fairly poor condition in terms of drainage and paving condition. There's trees that are growing. You got root intrusion and things like that that are affecting the pavement. But we'd be looking to make improvements specifically to the existing parking lot. Some of the considerations are we've got a shared ownership and use with the county. The county's adjacent fire department facility. They often do use the parking lot for storage of equipment, apparatus. The deteriorated condition of the parking lot's a consideration as we're looking to look at our repair options, replacement options. We need to address some drainage issues, which are partly contributing to the poor condition of the paving. And while we're doing it, we'll need to provide some disabled access improvements. As well as looking at a potential for parking lot expansion. Illustrate some of the shared uses. Fire Station 14, right next door. It's got a fairly small facility, so they often use this parking lot for overflow. The day that I was out there, they had two units. They were just parallel parked on their side. And it's just a fairly routine type of thing. They need to use it for staging of equipment and just extra parking. So this is a pretty common thing, and it's a consideration as we are looking to do a parking lot expansion. We're probably not going to change this behavior or the use, but we do need to provide for additional capacity for park users. Again, condition of the existing parking, we're looking at root damage to pavement, uplifted pavement sections, drainage issues, deteriorated paving, and really no drainage inlets to speak of, which is partly contributing to the poor condition of the pavement. So the renovations to the pavement that we're looking to do are we're going to repair the pavement, correct drainage. We're going to put in some drainage collection devices, and while we're doing that, we're going to put in some treatment devices as well so that we're treating some of that that storm runoff from the paved areas. We'll probably try to preserve the existing parking lot trees. Some of the trees have fairly invasive root systems. So we'll have to take a look at that from an arborist perspective and see if we can maintain the existing trees with some root barriers, or do we look to simply take the trees out and replace them with trees that are maybe a little bit more amenable to this type of installation. And of course, we'd be looking to improve the disabled access to the parking lot and overall facility. So in terms of disabled access, so one of the keys to disabled access is you get people to the site. And one of the ways you do that is you make sure you've got a good path of travel from the street out in front to the park. Right now we've got a curb return out in front, but there's no sidewalk that actually gets a disabled pedestrian from the curb return into the park. So we'd be looking to improve a path of travel from the street to the parking area and to the on-site buildings. We have parking spaces that need to be improved as part of this project. And we also need to look to provide essentially an interior circulation path or path of travel that allows someone who's parking in a disabled spot to get to all the buildings on the site and also to get to the site from the right-of-way. So there's kind of a connectivity component there as well. As we're looking to rehab the existing parking lot, we also want to expand the parking lot to provide ourselves some additional capacity. A new parking lot will add some capacity to the existing parking facility without relying on the overflow into the adjacent dirt lot, expand access to the park facilities, and would essentially occupy an adjacent area in what I guess you'd see it as a eucalyptus grove that's out there now. So right behind the existing parking lot, we'd be looking to put in this new parking area with some considerations for environmental evaluation and habitat in the eucalyptus trees for butterflies. The parking lot expansion is a shot of the area that we're expanding to put a picture to it. Looking straight on, you can see the eucalyptus grove, which essentially occupies the area from the existing parking lot to the back of the packing sheds. As part of that, we've got an electrical pole, which is just to the left of this existing parking area, and we'll probably have to relocate that existing electrical pole and service. We'd likely take that underground and take it to the new restroom facility and put the panel board inside the facility just so it's secure and can't be tampered with. This is kind of a sketch of the park area. This is kind of the design concept that we went off of. This is often the kind of crayon drawing that we'll start with. It will get formalized into better drawings, I can promise you. But this is often the way these ideas start. But what it does illustrate, too, is that yellow square is the caretaker's garage that we're proposing. The yellow striped square above it is the new parking lot. So the idea is that someone who's trying to get to the new caretaker's garage would go through the new parking lot and access the garage from that parking lot. So the caretaker would be able to park behind the house that they're currently utilizing. So kind of give you some perspective in terms of where that is on site. And with that, we'll roll into any questions that you may have. Yes.
Go ahead. Okay. I have a series of questions. And so I guess my main concern is, are you seeking the approval of this commission, or you're just sharing your thoughts and plans? And A, if there's a pot of City of Goleta money allocated for this specifically, because there, you know, I've lived in my home 35 years in Goleta, and I know that facility quite well. So during the summer, when there was the dam dinner, there were many of us who parked in that parking lot and had to schlep all of our picnic gear through the trails back to the dam. And I've also done Audubon bird walks there. And there really needs to be, if there's a pot of money available and I serve on this commission, I would say, you know, helping make those trails safer for our residents that go from the parking lot to the dam would be very important. And also, as someone who's very dedicated to our city's monarch butterfly preserve and its habitat, I would ask, have you had a lot of input from all the dedicated, wonderful volunteers who are involved in that project? Have you discussed your plans to remove those eucalyptus trees?
So, Mr. Chair and Vice Chair West, Ms. Rosemary Gaglione, who is our Director of Public Works and City Engineer, is present tonight to help assist in answering some of your questions.
Oh, good evening. So what we are doing at this point is we're giving an overview of all of the possibilities, and we do want input. We do want to hear from you. We have shown this to the Historical Society, and they had some preferences in terms of the look of the restroom to where it would blend in. So for some of those finishes, we sort of need to give deference to them so that it all blends in. What we have is a project that says we're going to install a restroom, we're going to install the water line, be able to have the fire hydrants, do parking lot improvements. We don't have in there specifically the path improvement you're talking about. We don't have specifically in that description the parking lot addition. So what we're doing is we want to hear from, we've heard from the Historical Society, we want to hear from you. And then as we go forward and we get a little more on the cost estimates and also whether or not we could expand the parking lot into that eucalyptus area, then we'll go to council and say, look, this is what you started us off with. This is the scope. We think that it would be good to improve that path going around toward the lake. And M6 is already looking into that. We also think that maybe it would be good to consider going ahead and adding the extra parking. So all of these different things is sort of a little bit of a menu. There are some things that we have park development impact fees for. So if we're adding things that are new and adding capacity for park visitors, then we can use those funds for that. If there are other things that council wants to go forward, council can choose to put in other monies, knowing where they want their money allocated. So we're coming to you really at the beginning of the process. So we haven't had public outreach yet because we don't know that we have a project in terms of removing any of the eucalyptus trees. So if that wouldn't be a go for any reason, then we wouldn't do public outreach on that. And then public outreach could end up, if council said, yes, we want you to move forward, well, public outreach, if people really didn't want it, then council could decide that even if they could, they might not want to expand the parking, but we don't know yet. So we're trying to bring you in at the earliest possible stage.
Since we're on, if I may, since we're on the topic of the parking lot, could you explain to me what the present arrangement is with the overflow parking with the adjacent church? I believe that we have that shared field, or they allow us to use their property. Is that accurate?
Yeah, basically they just let us.
Okay.
You know?
Basically, they just left. So there is no agreement.
I think our crews go in before an event and they may mow. But I don't believe that at this point there's any payment for that. I think they're just being good neighbors and allowing that. And we do have to plan because at some point they could stop doing that, or they could sell, who knows? I mean, we don't know. They might decide, hey, you know, we have a use for that now, so we want to do something else.
Could part of this project be an outreach to them in that discussion about their future plans or their preferences? I'm just looking at it from a cost-effective standpoint. It's been there. I've been here 25 years and have used that expansion lot a number of times. And while it may be dirty and uneven and all those negative things, given how infrequently it's used, I still think it's fairly cost-effective. But we don't have any plans to talk to the church about their future plans.
There were some early on discussions about formalizing something, but then there'd also be paving that area, which would be very expensive. So I don't, there hasn't been any talk for quite a while. But these are all things that have to be fleshed out. And I'm sure it's one of the first questions council will ask is, well, what is really the benefit of adding the parking there versus maintaining this arrangement, and even if it's maintained for a while?
Right. Commissioner Jones.
Quick comment. I'm really happy to hear that there's some historic compatibility being considered with these prefab restrooms. I think that's really important. This is a really special area. And so I think that looking at those materials and finishes is a good idea. Can you explain to me the boundary with the county and city of Goleta that was mentioned that there's shared ownership? What are those boundaries, and is there an opportunity for county contribution to some of these improvements? If that's the case, it sounds like.
So when you, there you go. So there's a row of trees in the middle of the parking lot, and that is the boundary. So we don't know yet whether the county will be interested in participating in the cost. We haven't had that discussion yet. As I said, we're just starting off, and that's why we're here.
Commissioner Richards.
I have a few questions and comments. First of all, can you describe how this relates to the existing bathroom, not in the parking lot, but behind the bunkhouse? Is this, would this affect that? Would that be, you know, is it assumed that that will continue to be there, the one that's there and back?
The one that's only used during events?
Yeah.
Yeah, as far as, yes, that will stay.
Okay, so this is not replacing that one. It's just
no. This
just
is replacing. This is replacing the glorified porta potty.
Okay. And, yeah. Okay. I am concerned. I'm excited to see that the one in the parking lot is due for replacement. I think that we agree with that. I am concerned about the removal of those eucalyptus trees. That's a grove of trees right in the center of a very special place, and. I mean, with our current drought, we've lost a lot of trees in the city already. I would certainly want that to be investigated more to see, you know, first of all, the condition of those trees, how many trees are there versus how many trees would be removed. Would it be the entire, you know, grove of them? Could some be saved? I would be in favor of saving all of them. I agree with the Commissioner Hart that we should look at maybe other options for expanding parking. I think that would be a better option. With regard to the other lot that's there, I would also try to save the trees that are currently in there. I do understand that there's some root intrusion issues, and they might not be the best suited trees for that area, but if they have to be removed, then I would certainly want to see the other trees are replaced there. It has a very park-like feel to being in that area, and I would want to maintain that and preserve it.
And I think that, Bob, as we were talking, if trees were moved in that parking lot, they'd be replaced with something that wouldn't damage the parking lot, but that would also, you know, make things look nice.
Mm-hmm. Also, would there be any other opportunity to make some improvements like park benches or lighting or other drinking fountains or other types of amenities that would go along with a park that you would expect?
That's possible. I think the Historical Society is creating some benches out of some of the redwood logs. So there's going to be some benches installed by them, but we can certainly investigate other benches. Sure.
Or picnic tables and other types of amenities, drinking fountains.
We'll have to check on picnic tables. We have, so all the other thing that we haven't talked about too is we also have to pull out the the Los Carneros, the master plan, and make sure that everything, you know, all fits within the master plan. But this is great. I mean, this is what we want. We want to hear all of the things that you're interested in seeing.
Okay.
Vice Chair West.
I just want to say I love Kyle's vision for that area, and it would be nice if you could explain to us a little bit more who really governs all that area. You keep talking about the Historical Society, but yet right now it seems to be that the city of Goleta is going to be putting in the dollars and cents for all this work. So wouldn't it be the city of Goleta, our city council, and then this commission that would be involved in some of these suggestions going forth? I mean, like, we don't have any idea when you talk about doing a new garage, how much money are we talking about a new garage versus putting in trails and park benches and picnic tables that would even make that area more welcoming to the citizens of the city?
Bob, did we have an estimate yet on the garage at all?
At this point, we'd be looking to do a kind of a precast type unit, and a precast unit will run approximately $40,000 for the building itself.
So to answer the first part of your question, so yes, the city owns the area, and the Historical Society takes care of it for us in terms of historical buildings and all of that. So we want to work with them, and that's why we defer to them in terms of putting things in that won't clash with the historical nature. We definitely would defer to them in certain things because they do take care of much of that. Yeah, but ultimately the city is paying for these extras, and I see, as I said, we're going to create a menu of items, and then based on, you know, your priorities, I'm sure as well, the council can make a decision on what they want to do.
As a tag onto that, the caretaker is then a city employee?
No, the caretaker is connected to the Historical Society.
And I hope that person's involved in this process too, for making suggestions and commenting on the plans?
No, actually we're dealing directly with the other folks in the Historical Society, okay. Yeah.
The bosses.
Yeah, my understanding is he does minor maintenance and keeps an eye out, make sure there's not people there at night partying or lighting fires or doing things that they shouldn't do. Any of the larger maintenance, we recently had a sewer problem, and the city goes in and takes care of that.
Other comments? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Take a moment to acknowledge Commissioner Barsky's arrival. Just slightly late.
Thank you.
All right. Moving on to C2, we have the Hollister Kellogg Park design revisions. Vito?
Mr. Chair and members of the commission, Ms. Claudia Dado has a PowerPoint presentation for you regarding the Hollister Kellogg Park and asking for your feedback and some recommendations as to some of the design revisions and enhancements that have been included. Also tonight is here present is Ms. Susan Vanatta, who is part of the design team and the consultant group that the city is working with in the development of this park. So with that, I will turn it over to Ms. Dado.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. So I'm just going to give a brief recap of kind of the history for those who weren't present. But design of the Hollister Kellogg Park essentially was kicked off in 2012 when the City Council approved a design contract with Vanatta Associates Landscape Architects. And we have with us this evening Susan Vanatta here to answer any particular questions that the commission might have. But subsequent to that, we had a number of public meetings and stakeholder meetings, design workshops, and during which the public provided input on design of the park. And that park design evolved over time to contain a multitude of recreational amenities and landscaping. And for those who might not be familiar with the site, it's located on Kellogg Avenue, on the east side of Kellogg Avenue, just north of Hollister. And on the east side of the property is San Jose Creek. Because of increasing drought restrictions imposed by the Goleta Water District over the past 2 to 3 years, the design of the park had to be revised to comply with these restrictions. This resulted in a smaller multi-purpose kind of soccer field, as well as conversion of other landscape areas to hardscape, and an increase in the size of the skateboard plaza from 3,600 square feet to 5,400 square feet. So this was the original plan that, this was the revised plan, I should say, that responded to all the drought restrictions. And this plan was presented to the Parks and Recreation Commission in May of 2015. Overall, the commissioners seemed pleased with the park's design at that time and recommended council approval subject to minor revisions. These included adding a bike path connection from the east end of the parking lot to the San Jose Creek bike path, and fencing around the perimeter of the Sister Witness tree. And there was also some concern about the use of thorny shrubs in areas where children could be injured if an errant soccer ball wandered into the bushes. And then another commissioner suggested in kind of an unstructured play area or surface for other activities such as yoga or meditation or group, you know, dancing and that same things of that nature. So at that point, the park design was moved forward to the City Council in September of 2015. The City Council's direction was to enlarge the restroom building to create a storage space within the building large enough to accommodate future equipment checkouts, as well as wanting the number of restroom stalls increased. The City Council also wanted staff to implement additional measures designed to protect the Sister Witness tree, and also directed that the bike path be realigned around the west side of the tree. As you can see in this plan that you saw last year, it was aligned along the east side of the tree.
Excuse me, can you point to where the tree is in that?
Sure. It's in the very far southeast corner of the park site. Unfortunately, it lies right on the property line. So, and finally, the City Council confirmed its desire for the splash pad feature, which in this plan, as you can see, is located just to the east of the skateboard plaza, on that circular feature there. So what we have with us now in response to that City Council direction, as well as taking into consideration the Park Commission's former comments, is a revised plan. And I'm going to just zoom in on some of these areas, these features here. So what we've done is, first of all, in response to Council's direction, the bike path has been realigned to the west side of the Sister Witness tree. And as you can see, there's a new bike path connection that ties into the east end of the parking lot driveway. There's a larger restroom building that's been placed, you know, essentially in the same location as the previous one, but just enlarged. And in my next slide, I'll show you a zoomed in version of that floor plan so you can see that a little bit better. But then in thinking about the play structure area and the splash pad, it was staff's suggestion that the splash pad actually be moved to the center area where it can be a centralized feature, and instead of being in an area where it might conflict with children going on play structures, and placing it in the center would allow children to run through the water features and not have to worry about any conflicts with anything else going on in play structure. So it seemed to make more sense to just concentrate all the different play structure features in that larger area on the west side, and then just have a centralized water feature, a splash pad in the center there. And then if you can see just to the south of the bocce ball alley court, we've created a new unstructured play area. So that would be the same kind of rubberized play mat surface that you would have, you know, around the play structures. And that would provide area for unstructured activities such as, you know, group activities or meditation or dance or Pilates or things of that nature. A lot of times there's outdoor senior programs that provide just different exercise activities. And we can even have the surface striped to provide things like hopscotch and other activities for children that don't involve play structures. So let me move forward to the... So basically the restroom building, it was originally just a smaller storage room with two unisex restroom stalls. So what we've done is added two more unisex, what we call now family restroom stalls. And the trend seems to be going more and more to these unisex family facilities where... You know, especially in a park setting, if you've got, you know, a father with, you know, a young daughter, it presents a difficult dilemma for a father to send their child into the women's room alone, or, you know, it's not really appropriate to take them into the men's room. So these family stalls are becoming, you know, more and more trendy in the industry. So we've enlarged the... equipment storage room there. It's proposing to have a roll-up door, but then also a pedestrian door that could be like a farm-style door, where you could potentially do future equipment checkout of that. And then just zooming in on some of those changes there, where you can see the bike path alignment and the bike path connection.
What's that green dotted line?
The green dotted line.
The darker green, it just kind of...
Oh, I think that is... Susan Van Anna might be able to answer the question, but I believe it's a topographical... topographical line.
Got number 24 on it in the lower right...
Is this you're talking about this?
Yes, I'm talking about that. I'm just curious.
Yeah, I think that's a topographical line. And
the topo lines are the dashed lines.
Okay, I don't know what that is.
And it's,
okay.
It's more a point of curiosity.
Yeah.
I thought it might be.
And it's funny because I've never noticed that particular line. I've just looked past it.
Oh.
Ms. Van Anna, if you like, maybe you can go up to the microphone on the podium so everybody can hear your...
So our viewers at home can...
So this is the entire plan, and it is somewhat of a different resolution. But the open circles represent existing trees, and we're showing the extent of a canopy or other vegetation that shows on the survey with that dotted green line.
Thank you.
And that's why it's so uneven and is apart from what you see on the ground.
I'm sorry. Vanna was moving all over the place.
In the year 2016-2017, mm-hmm. when we unfortunately will be going through another year of a drought, why are we still having that splash pad and not having something? I mean, isn't there a zillion other creative things that we could put there and not focus on a splash pad? That, I mean, I'm a parent. I wouldn't have wanted my children to play in water, that reclaimed water. I mean, what kind of water are you going to be using there?
I think Claudia would like to answer that question. Were you
signaling
to me?
Well, first of all, when we took the plan to the city council last September, that was one of the things that was that city council confirmed, that they definitely want the splash pad. So that was city council direction that it be retained.
I could be reassuring on this point, though, that of course the water is completely recycled, and so
treated quite well.
Of course,
well,
it's treated,
so it's safe.
but it also isn't a big water waster. I think that
we could get you more
information on that, but it is not a big water user or waster.
That's correct. It's pretty much a closed system that just used recycled water that goes through treatment system. So I mean, it's minimal water loss with, you know, evaporation and
I'm sure it's only on when being used.
That's right. It's not a feature. It's user activated, so most of the time the water is not coming out. A child has to press the activator button and then it comes on for like a couple minutes, and you can set it at different timed rates.
Great.
Yeah, but that was a city council direction to include that.
Commissioner Jones?
I was just going to point out also that in Vito's memo, it does note that splash pad may not be operating under the current drought restrictions, so the splash zone will be existing and may not be turned on, or may be turned on if we have some relief. So I think there's opportunity to keep it and just not have it on right away.
Yeah, that's correct. At this point, the infrastructure would be installed if the current restrictions are in place at the time of park construction. The infrastructure would be installed, but it would not be turned on until such time as the water district lifts that prohibition on that particular, on basically it falls into a water features use. So unless the city's able to get an exception for this type of use, it just kind of falls into a general fountains, you know, new swimming pools, I think, or for commercial swimming pools.
Right. I'm going to tell Joanne she can sit down. Commissioner Richards.
Could we see the new plan, the full schematic of it up there? So I have a question about the picnic areas that are especially around the top part. Can you tell us? To me, that looks like they'd be just kind of in an open field area. Will they be in any kind of shaded area, or will that be? Because I see that there are some trees around the side, but I'm not sure how big those trees will be, or what the idea is for that.
So these picnic areas would be in mulch, and this new layout does reflect an earlier revision to minimize water use for the park. So I think if things should change, you might possibly have a larger field at some time in the future, so we haven't planned trees for those areas, but that would be possible to add trees.
All right, yeah, and I guess I'll just express, not to you, but just for feedback, is that I'm trying to picture sitting in a picnic area just in an open mm-hmm. lot. It doesn't seem as appealing as being under, you know, some cover or some shade trees. Also, are there any benches, or are they all picnic tables? Or are there any just park benches around?
We would envision placing park benches throughout the park and along the walking path.
And we do show built-in benches.
Yeah.
I'm happy to point those out if you like.
Okay, and maybe they're too small, and I guess they can be put in anywhere later, but I would want to make sure that we had an appropriate number of benches scattered around the park to be mm-hmm. able to just sit and enjoy.
And the picnic, I'm sorry. I just wanted to say that the picnic areas are really flexible. I mean, I think it was just kind of intended to show that there would be picnic areas. And I think, you know, we certainly could include some more trees along the perimeter walking paths. It would also provide some shade for, you know, the picnic areas. But as Mrs. Van Atta pointed out, we wanted to still preserve the ability to increase the size of the soccer field if at such point, you know, we in a better water situation and could enlarge it, then, yeah.
I appreciate that. But you know, even if they're just kept along the perimeter or in a way that would, you know, cast shade over an area, even if it's not obstructing the
field. We actually do have new tree plantings all the way around the perimeter there.
Okay, great, great.
Yeah.
And I should say also, I wanted to add that I appreciate the improvements that were made to this plan. And in particular, I appreciate the bike path connection that was made from the parking lot to the plan San Jose Creek path. So that I think that's a good improvement. Thank you.
Commissioner West.
For those of us who attended all those hearings, I think this reflects what the community was asking for. Mm-hmm. And I know it's on there, but I was just wondering if you could show me, because the one thing I remember, in addition to all the skateboarding requests, is a lot of, there's so many young families in that
right.
neighborhood.
It right.
is a very condensed area, and a lot of the young women were requesting places where they could just stroll with their babies mm-hmm. and not have to get out on a street and a curb, and they wanted, you know, paths throughout that little park where they could just stroll and perhaps their children would be playing on the playground. And aren't those what I'm seeing?
Yes, there's
those paths.
There are multiple paths.
Great.
There are paths that go around the whole perimeter
great.
And underneath the trees along the what is now the sort of a creek. And then Claudia's pointing those out. Then there are the horizontal paths that cut through the playgrounds and so forth as well, that separate the playground and the splash pad and all of that. So there is a lot of opportunity along those lines.
Great. If I could, Commissioner Tolis.
I was going to ask, actually, what are these fitness nodes? Like, I guess the dots, the black dots with the circles around them. Like, I'm curious what those are.
Okay. So on the full plan that but you can't read it from a distance. But actually, you might. I don't know if Claudia had us bring us three copies of the plan for you to kind of distract you during the hearing. But it has a legend on it, which describes everything. And we do have all these nodes listed and what would be at these nodes. So they used to be called park courses, but it's where you would run to a stand that would have various little facilities that would allow you to do different kinds of activities for fitness. And it's a nice way of integrating that kind of feature into a park and just sort of making it a part of that place. And this is a modern version of it.
All
but
right.
I'd be happy, you know, I know Claudia wasn't expecting us to present the park today, but if you'd like me to come back, because it's been so long and there are new people, it could be nice for us to really go through and share the excitement about this park. One thing that when I give talks, sometimes I do about my work, and recently I've been doing that with students, and at the annual meeting of landscape architects, I actually use this as a project as a great example. And this is at a national conference of where a city went out and did amazing outreach. They didn't just advertise that they were going to have workshops, but they went to the different, and this is, you know, Claudia and her staff, you know, initiated this, went to all the different groups that might be interested and solicited their input. So that was really impressive. And then, of course, the skateboard thing happened accidentally, where a group of guys who were in the wrong room for a meeting found out there was going to be a park, and they stayed until the end, which gets a big laugh out of the students. I tell this story to. Anyway, yes.
Commissioner.
I'm sorry, I have to disagree with you. That was by no means an accident
really?
That all those skateboarders came to our hearings. They
oh,
wanted
no,
to be
it
heard.
Seriously, they found out about it because they were at the wrong meeting when we were having a community workshop, but they did not give up to the bitter end. It was great. They were really motivated.
And I'd like to add that I'm really appreciative that that skate plaza was expanded considerably. I think that their hope was still 10,000, if I recall, or something.
But, the whole park could be a skateboard.
Yeah, I know. I know. Entity. I think it serves a lot of needs. One minor point, we talked about the checkout shed. Given that this is a relatively low-income area, I'm really hoping that we do something very formal with the equipment offered there. And you were talking about the shed might have a door. I was thinking of a roll-up window like a concession stand and making it very clear to anybody walking into the park that that equipment is available for checkout. Because it would be a great opportunity, but they'd show up and go, well, I wish I had a basketball, or I wish I had a bocce ball set, or whatever. Is that in the plans at this point, or?
Well, we've got the building design for that. It does have the roll-up door that you're talking about there. It's just going to be a question of, staffing, and who does the city staff it, or do we contract that out, or do we even get a volunteer organization set up to staff it during certain hours?
Yeah.
Maybe in the afternoons or something?
Yeah, I would hope that might be able to be accomplished, but we do have plans to actually fund and provide the equipment.
Not at this time. Ah. We haven't talked about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's my input. I think it's a relatively low-cost aspect of this. Obviously, it's ongoing, but it would really, I think, help this community make better use of the park.
That was council's desire. I mean, they specifically wanted the building enlarged to provide for future use of that nature. And that's what we'd also envision as far as the basketball courts are set up or will be set up to be a multi-use court where we're getting ready to talk about pickleball courts here in a few minutes. But we would envision maybe striping those courts for also pickleball use. And so that would involve using portable nets. And so those could also be kept in like the equipment room for people to check out as well. That's a possibility. So,
Commissioner Jones.
I think it's an excellent plan and something really exciting to look forward to. I have a question about operational logistics and trash cans and recycling. I see that there, I think I counted four. They were really kind of hard to see and locate, but I just want to make sure that there's adequate receptacles throughout the park. Can you tell me how many there are total?
I don't know that we've come up with a number, but they will be both recycling and trash receptacles will be placed throughout the park.
Yeah. Thank you.
I'd like to, give my appreciation about the, bathrooms, how they are unisex, because especially nowadays, with youth, coming out as not necessarily being within gender binary, those individuals struggle with, going to the bathrooms that are labeled male and female. And so that little detail is, actually adding, a more open-to-everybody kind of feel, in which, at the moment it may not seem like much, but in the future, especially as these kind of things become more acceptable in our society, it definitely does make a difference over time. And I like to say I greatly appreciate that.
Thank you. Other comments? Thank you, Susan, for stepping in too, and thanks, Joanne, for holding up the sign. And thank you, Claudia. Again, I would like to reiterate that we have some remote idea of all that went into this, but I can't even imagine the tug of war that was going on between all of the factions that had a say. But I'm really pleased that you did open it up to the community. Everyone at least got their say. They may not have gotten their wish list, but bravo on integrating all of the different pieces of this very difficult puzzle.
Thank you very much.
All right. Can we? Thank you. All right, and keeping with a tradition I just established a few moments ago, I'd like to acknowledge that Commissioner Lynn has arrived, and we now have a full commission. So thank you for doing that. All right, moving on. Item C3, the pickleball pilot program at Evergreen Park Tennis Courts. Vito.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the Commission. A while ago, the city received a request from a resident asking about the potential or feasibility of a pickleball striping to be installed at the newly resurfaced Evergreen tennis courts. And as the Commission recently saw, the tennis court resurfacing at that park was really tremendous. They did a tremendous job in really repairing and resurfacing, and it came out beautiful. And so staff did some research on this, and Ms. Dato has a PowerPoint for you. And staff is looking for your thoughts and recommendations on this as we consider this item as a better opportunity to enhance the use of the park that's out there. So we found out more about pickleball than we ever thought we would know, but we'll present some of that information to you tonight. Ms. Dato?
Okay, in interest of baseball, I'll try to be quick. Yes. I've learned a lot about pickleball myself in the last couple of weeks. But basically, pickleball is a 2-to-4-player sport, and it combines elements of tennis, badminton, and ping pong, and it's played indoors or outdoors and on a badminton-sized court with a slightly modified lower tennis net, and it's played with, well, originally started mainly with hard paddles, but now it's advanced to quite sophisticated graphite rackets that can be quite expensive. And it's also utilizes a perforated plastic ball, so you can see a couple of examples there in the top. So as I mentioned, it's the court is quite a bit smaller than a tennis court, typically 20 by 44 in dimension, with just two service areas and zones on either side of the net where you cannot volley. You have to let the ball bounce, essentially. So this is an image of a pickleball court that's been striped in the red. The red is the pickleball court. That's a single court that's been striped on his tennis court. So in this case, they would be utilizing the tennis net either with or without being able to drop it down to the lower pickleball height. And this is an image, and I'll show you another angle of it, that's got a pickleball court striped on both sides of the tennis net. So you've got two courts, pickleball courts, on a single tennis court. There's another view of that. So I should say, and I'll show you another shot later, but essentially this would utilize portable pickleball nets. And here's an image that shows four pickleball courts striped on a single tennis court. And you can see that can get a little bit busy, but you know, they're playing with portable pickleball nets. That's at the Coronado Tennis Center down in San Diego. And this is another image of just of two pickleball courts, one on either side of a tennis net. There's the portable pickleball net and examples of the rackets and balls. So we wanted to look into, you know, is this a fad or is it something that's really taking off? And according to the USA Pickleball Association, there's now over 150,000 players nationwide, and that's growing all the time, with over 2,000 courts nationwide growing all the time. And it's particularly ideal for, they say, players over 50, age 50, but, you know, it's attractive to all ages, but for older players and seniors, you know, it's smaller courts, less running, easier on the knees. So that's part of the attractiveness, I think. In the Tri-Counties region, I discovered many of the communities, even the smaller communities, have pickleball courts, and even in Cambria it has 6 new dedicated specifically permanent pickleball courts, but as you can see other cities in the area, Rio Grande, and Atascadero, Morro Bay, Pismo Beach, Paso Robles, San Luis Obispo, all over Ventura County. And I discovered that Cathedral Oaks Athletic Club here in Goleta has two courts. So I thought that was interesting, but those are only open to club members. So we were aware that the city of Santa Barbara has been, implementing a pilot program over the last couple years. And part of what was their impetus was the their tennis use. They've seen it decline substantially in the last few years, a 49% decline in daily tennis use and a 26% annual decline. I think they base that a lot on their permits. So in fall of 2014, their park commission approved a temporary pilot program where they striped one tennis court at their 12-court muni complex, and they did the four pickleball courts on the single tennis court. So in fall of 2015, they saw an increase over that year that the temporary courts were in place. The players grew from a number of four, I guess, were the original group that asked for the temporary courts, to over 78 regular players. And so at that time, the Park Commission approved the permanent conversion of one tennis court to four permanent pickleball courts. So essentially, they removed the tennis court and just had that area dedicated to four permanent pickleball courts. So most recently, they are looking at proposing to stripe an additional second tennis court for shared use, again, having four courts in that tennis court. So that will be eight courts total, four shared and then four dedicated. And they have portable pickleball nets that they use for those facilities, and they're stored there on site. So this is back to Evergreen Park. This is our Evergreen Park here in Goleta that was recently repaved.
Resurfaced?
Yeah, resurfaced. So, we're looking for feedback from the commission on how this should proceed. This was just the staff suggestion was perhaps to line it temporarily for two pickleball courts, one on either side of the net, and then players would need to bring in a portable net, and so that there would be one court on either side of the permanent tennis net. And you can see in this image that the pickleball lines are fairly faint, and I think doing a single court on either side of the tennis net is less confusing for tennis players. I know in just talking to the city of Santa Barbara folks, I mean, there's sometimes some initial resistance from tennis players, but they, get used to the lines and so the resistance is not so great after they've had some time to get used to it. But that's my presentation.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate the further education. Yeah, I have played it. We have a public visitor here also that is a regular at the municipal courts in Santa Barbara. So my comment is there is definitely a lot of interest. There's a lot of growth out there. We do have it. I play at Cathedral Oaks, and we do have actually one court that was a stadium court, so there was more space on the sides of the court that we were able to do for cross-sectional pickleball courts on that one stadium court. So it does work, and it's nice that it's isolated for those of us that play tennis. But I think in the terms of this, I think this proposal does make the most sense, at least from my limited experience, that you have two on one of the courts. And again, we're talking about this as a pilot program. I would like to minimize the impact on the permanent facility while we go through this pilot. Despite the fact that there's all this interest, We're not sure about its location, if Evergreen is central enough to those that are interested to be popular or not. We'd obviously have to do an outreach of some sort to let the community know that it is there and it is available. But I'm very supportive of it. And like I said, we talked previously, Claudia, that I thought we ought to have a six-month pilot where we actually, you know, get the word out, hopefully get some feedback from the community, and then assess after 6 months, what do we do? Do we make it more permanent? Do we remove it? And so on. But that was my feedback for now. Others? Commissioner West?
Well, I know that both Kyle and Greg and I were at the opening when the city had the nice opening, and I can recall so much of the community coming and thanking the city. There was your elected officials and your staff, and there was just so much warmth and excitement about the opening of that. So my proposal would be that even before you implement a pilot project, that you would have some kind of notification and outreach to that same community and have like a little community hearing and ask their opinion of what they would think. I mean, the city spent all the money. They made a gorgeous new tennis area for these people, and I would just get the feedback of the people that live in the neighborhood. I mean, couldn't you have something at a school or something and then put notices out to the community and ask for feedback from those people? And then if they're a go, then I'd say then do a pilot. Well, just my thought.
Yeah, we certainly could do that. I think this type of facility, though, would be designed for, I mean, this kind of pilot program, it's really the audience, so to speak, is more than just the neighborhood. This would be, you know, you're looking at the entire community of Goleta that would be drawn to perhaps, mm-hmm. Okay, we've got a pickleball court now, let's go play there. And actually, the Santa Barbara has a very growing, large, active pickleball club, and so I'm sure there's a lot of people that are currently playing in Santa Barbara courts that would love to play out in a Goleta court or live in Goleta or the unincorporated area that would utilize this court. So
and in support of what Claudia is saying, I do think that there's an opportunity here. These courts have been off the grid for what, 2-3 years?
A long time.
I'll just lay and go with long time. But, you know, before the tennis community has rediscovered them, here's an opportunity where they may not be heavily used while people rediscover that they've been refurbished. And so here's an opportunity for the pickleball community to also be able to trial it and use it. And again, you know, as we go, if there is reaction from the community, negative or positive, we can react to that, because we're talking about, I'm at least envisioning, you know, taping some lines maybe initially before we paint lines, right, Derek? And the tennis nets, or I'm sorry, the pickleball nets are going to be portable. So there isn't like a point of no return here. It's very easily undone, and, you know, if there's mm-hmm. this huge outcry, then we can react easily to it.
Just out of curiosity, so then how does one manage all of that? So let's say the word gets out and you have a lot of community interest and you have people coming from the city of Santa Barbara and they want to play. Do you envision having a staff person there? How do people sign up for a time slot and all of that?
It's really first come, first serve, like any other facility in the area. The nice thing in this location, it's part of a much larger park. There's only three homes that are directly across the street, so you've got all that on-street parking along that whole side of the park. Mm-hmm. So not really direct impacts to, mm-hmm. you know,
well, and again, the impacts and the reservations and the whole ball of wax is the same as it was for tennis. You're just actually increasing by one court the availability and the number of people that could play simultaneously. Commissioner Jones?
I think it would be great to have a pilot program at this park, and I like the idea of staff's recommendation. My parents actually introduced me to pickleball about a year ago, and it's pretty fun. So I would definitely be supportive of it. I would maybe caution to have a little bit longer trial period rather than 6 months, given, you know, we're going into winter season. Maybe we'll get some rain, it's colder, but, you know, get a chance to get some. As you saw in Claudia's presentation, it took a couple years to kind of get going, but I think we could really see it in maybe a little bit of longer pilot program time frame, at least a year.
I was going to ask, so a year, would that be okay?
Commissioner Barsky wants to add something first.
Okay.
I was actually going to say the same thing, that I think it's realistic to at least go through the summer. So sure. I would say a year would make sense. We're here in November, so I was going to add the same. The other thing I was just curious about, and you mentioned tape, one question was just sort of the impact of what you put down. I didn't know if temporary meant some sort of tape, some sort of paint that mm-hmm. gets removed, or if you were talking about tape and how does that impact the surface. I'll let you answer that and I'll follow up.
Commissioner Barsky, we'll coordinate with the Department of Public Works, who's handled not only the resurfacing of the tennis courts previously, but also would be handling this mm-hmm. Kind of enhancement to the existing tennis courts. So I'll defer to them as to the best material to use. It would probably be something that's not permanent. I don't know if that's some kind of special paint or some kind of tape that's used mm-hmm. on the court so that it will last long enough for the trial period that we're talking about.
Yeah, that's great. I just know that tape at times can be more impactful than some sort of temporary paint. The other thing I wanted to ask is, and I don't know, by the way, the facility looks amazing. It really did a nice job. Are they able, and I don't know if this is the case for tennis as well, are you able to reserve the courts? Are they able to have some sort of competitions, or is it only first come, first serve, and it's just, you know, because I could see that potentially. There could be formal competitions, right? I assume there are. Knowing very little about pickleball, I'm learning.
There are a lot of pickleball tournaments. I mean, they can be really big deals. Right now, the city doesn't really have a recreation programming. You know, hopefully we'll get to that point. So really, the courts are just first come, first serve. You know, I suppose people could informally arrange some matches, but we don't have anything that the city at this point would organize.
Just to chime in for Commissioners Lynn and Barsky, we introduced to the commission tonight the city's new Parks and Recreation Manager, Ms. Joanne Plummer, who is seated here. And we could definitely task her with the assignment of coming up with not only the monitoring of the pickleball pilot program, but how best to manage it going forward. From a staff perspective, we would love to see an enhanced use of that park. Mm-hmm. I think it's wonderful tonight that we have an opportunity to consider a request from a member of the public to really take an existing facility and to enhance its use. And I think that's one of the goals that the commission has had for quite some time, to be responsive to the community's needs and to be able to provide feedback that can help, you know, come to fruition like you see tonight. So it's kind of a great opportunity to have this discussion.
I think it's great. It enhances the community, but also has pretty low fiscal impact and can be something that we can actually, I say us in terms of community, take action on, and it's enjoyable to others. So I think in that way it could be great. But like I said, when you have something like this, I would think there is the environment or the ability to have sort of competitions or competitive tournaments. So just being aware how we move forward with it.
I will comment on that, being a member of the tennis community. A lot of what is generated is organic mm-hmm. in nature. And the public courts, I smile because there is really stiff competition for public courts, but only at certain times.
Right.
You know, Saturday mornings, it's a traffic jam on almost every court out there. But the pickleball, again, I think the important thing here is that we get the outreach to at least let the public know that it's available, and then from there they can manage it just like the tennis people mm-hmm. have. There's always some issues, but we've managed for decades doing it that way. I think it'll work all right.
We would love to have a problem with the overuse of that facility.
Yes.
Yep. I think we could all agree on that.
And I do agree with you, invoking former Commissioner Rojas, this is low-hanging fruit,
yep.
and we got to be grabbing at this. So I applaud staff for bringing this forward, and I'm really supportive of the program.
Great.
Other comments? Commissioner Tolles?
I'd like to, I guess state that I had no idea this was an actual park. And I would like to say, what would be your form of, outreach to the community about this, the availability of these courts for pickleball and tennis as well?
So the city has a number of ways to communicate with the community. One is the Monarch Press quarterly that comes out that gives information about current happenings in the city and updates on important things. We could certainly see this being included as part of that. There's also folks who are signed up in Nextdoor and other media that communicate with the city, the city's web Facebook page, as well as other. So we could work with our public information folks to get the word out on this. I don't think it's going to take a lot once it gets striped and once it's put into use for the word to get out, as we've seen in other kind of things similar to this where, oh, here's a new opportunity to use a facility that, is available to use. So I think that it'll be interesting to see what the reaction is, but I don't think there'll be any lack of interest in using this facility once it's up and striped. I hope to see you out there too,
Well, I'd also like to, comment that as an athlete myself, it's definitely great to see that there's an ability to, have, a competitive, atmosphere, at least with pickleball, because I know that, with everybody, aging over time, and as an athlete, you reach a prime pretty soon in life, and sometimes you want to, get back to, to that competitive nature without putting your physical body at risk. That I've known because, I have cousins who have, who are much older than me, 50, whom want to get into a sport, but you're fam, I don't think I can do this. And so, it's definitely great to see something like this come about, and I guess it's rising popularity, and, I'll definitely give it a shot.
Interesting comments from our youngest member. Thank you, Commissioner Tolles.
I was going to say I resemble that remark, but I think it's a great opportunity for a wide range of age groups to go out there and use a beautiful facility that's been kind of rehabilitated and now is available. I think it's just wonderful to see that happen.
All right. Thank you very much. Moving on. Item C4, scheduling of the meeting in December.
Mr. Chair and members of the Commission, we are approaching the last meeting of the year, which will be held on December 14th next month. I believe that falls on a Wednesday. So we will be preparing for that meeting for you. You'll recall we had to make an adjustment in the scheduling of the meetings. So we're catching up to have this meeting in December. We will have an agenda and a number of items that we'll be bringing back to the commission. So I just wanted to be sure that all of you are available on that date on your calendar so we can proceed with preparing the agenda and getting all of the materials ready for that. So it looks like everybody's got that on their calendar. And again, that will be the last meeting of the year. It doesn't sound like it's already at that point, but it is. This year's really gone by fast. So we'll go ahead and calendar that date with the clerk and be ready for it.
Very good. Thank you. And moving right back to you again on the director's report, item D.
Mr. Chair and members of the commission, just a couple of quick items. We were, as I mentioned previously, extremely pleased to share with the commission the arrival of Ms. Joanne Plummer to the city's team as our new Parks and Recreation manager. We also completed the recruitment and filled the position for an assistant in my department, and the person's name is Mr. Julio Donaitis, who will be starting on November 14th and will be the management assistant in my department and will also be providing support to the Parks Commission, as well as to me and Ms. Plummer and all of my staff. So they will be very busy. But we're really pleased to see these two recruitments completed and filled, and these folks are now going to be starting. So I believe we'll have a very busy next year, 2017, so I'm really looking forward to it. Also, just an informational item, we're also pleased to report that the recent Isla Vista Halloween event came and went fairly quietly. You'll recall the city last year implemented parking restrictions in the University 1 and 2 neighborhoods, the area between Stork and Cannon Green and Hollister and Whittier to the south. We really were surprised at how quiet it was. I think the rains helped, which was very much appreciated. But most importantly, the neighborhoods were quiet and the kids had a good time, which is really the goal behind this, is to keep our neighborhood safe and also to minimize any impacts to the residents in those areas. So we're very pleased for the law enforcement presence that was out there, and that the residents were able to have a quiet but enjoyable Halloween. Those are the two director's report items. We're ready for item E.
I'm sorry?
Item E on the future agendas.
Future agenda items. Commissioner Richards, sorry.
Yeah, well, there were two items that I wanted to bring up that have been brought up before, and I wanted to make sure that they're just kept current because I'd like to see them on an agenda. The one is the discussion about off-leash dog park. I mean, I know that that's come up before, but mm-hmm. I'd like to revisit that and have a more lengthy discussion about potential options on that. The other one, I know we discussed having a meeting at the Goleta Valley Community Center at some point. I know that there are some logistical obstacles to that, but if we could look into that, I know that I think that had been proposed before, so I'd like to make sure that that's on the front burner. And then I was wondering if it'd be possible to have an update or a presentation about the pedestrian bicycle master plan. I know that that is underway, and I'd be interested to hear more about that.
Sure.
Commissioner West.
I just wanted to thank Claudia. If we're officially losing you as our support backup, you've been great, and thank you. This has it been a year, or how long have you been with us now?
It seems like it.
And just to thank you for everything you've done for us.
It's been my pleasure.
Just so you know, she won't be going very far, and we will reserve the right to bring her in when we need additional help. But she has been a tremendous help during this time, and I wanted to publicly thank you for your excellent work, as always.
Other future agenda items, comments?
I'm sorry, this is a comment, because I'm jumping in. I meant to get in after the director's report, but we went too fast. I was wondering if you could just give a little information on the, I read about the holiday parade, the first annual Goleta
in Old Town.
Yeah.
So real quick, the city has been working with representatives of the Goleta Old Town community for the first ever Christmas parade. And I believe they are in the final stages of the permit process. And we've been coordinating traffic control, working with the sheriff traffic unit to make sure that the traffic circulation during the time that this event is being conducted is safe and is proper. So I believe things are going in a very good direction, and I think things are progressing nicely. So that's it'll be great. The first ever event.
Yeah, okay, thank
in
you.
In Old Town.
Any other comments on future agenda items? All right, with that, we are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.